And that body that God has prepared for us accommodates the new life that you and I now have. Well, that's kind of going out there, but I'll tell you this. You and I, I'm talking about, in terms of the human way of thinking about things, will be afraid of death to the measure that we're not walking in the life that we've been given by God. You can be born again, have eternal life, and still be afraid to die. While I've said it, and you know it, that death is nothing but a portal to get us in the full action of the eternal dimension. Now, he sent the Holy Ghost here and to help us. And so often, we do want him to help us with the natural challenges we have in this world. But the challenges of this world are not primarily natural. The challenges of this world are primarily spiritual. Why? Because, again, the devil couldn't keep you from getting born again. And then he hates, like all of you saved people shouting God down about his goodness, because he wants God's glory. And you're not giving it to him. And he hates you. And then they talk about witnessing to somebody out of the testimony of the reality of God in your life. He loved to shut you up and to get you in a prayer meeting instead of the prayer meeting being a praise meeting. Is a meeting where we're dealing with circumstances all the time, not dealing with the manifestations that God has given us in our lives all the time. In other words, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, you want to build somebody's faith up, just keep talking about the things God has done in your life. Nobody can refute it, actually. And when you back it with what God has promised, and watch, you have a non-stop and irrefutable history in God that the devil would love you not remembering. See? This is why I wrote the book Dare to Hope, because even Jeremiah in Lamentations 3 forgot prosperity. He's going to forget prosperity because of your circumstance. And he had a pretty serious circumstance. But his circumstance that he was dealing with wasn't more serious than what God had done in his life. And so the solution for it was in his memory. No, really. And that's one of the things he said when I remember. I'm going to turn over to Lamentations 3. I haven't looked at that in a long time, but, you know, and if you don't watch out, I might, you know, like sing it to you or something. All right, now, you don't even try. Now, yeah, I mean, look, God is alive. It's not going to happen, but I might. It's not. You can't put it for me. I gave you the testimony that I sang Psalms 18. Yeah. And so this particular, in the Lamentations 3, I'm looking at his complaint in verse 18. 17. It says, peace has been stripped away, and I've forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. Thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. Hey, look, hey, people, I'm in a hotel talking to you right now. And one of the bishops with me, who is an expert on moving, is coming down there, and he may already be there, I don't have his exact logistics, in Miami, taking the rest of my furniture and bringing it up here to Atlanta. But I'm in a hotel. But this time I'm not in a hotel because I have a preaching assignment. I'm homeless. Hey, I'm homeless two ways. I'm homeless by not being in heaven. I am from heaven. I do have an eternal address, and it's with the Father in the third heavens, occupying eternity. It was an amazing assignment. So I want to, like, make sure that I'm doing this assignment awesomely, and I don't have a physical home here yet either, so I don't know where it's going to be. So don't worry about it. It's like that. You keep me in prayer, and I'll be okay, okay? So that's the point of the testimonies. If I get you praying for me, it's going to be all right. Bishop Ferguson said, just let it come to you. So he doesn't mean my house is going to physically come to me. He means God is going to open up a door, and it's going to be his initiative, and I'm going to know it's God. So, okay, look. So it says, again, verse 19 of Lamentations 3, the thought of my suffering and homelessness is beyond words. Isn't that something? Well, I could see that. And King James Version is great on that one. He says in verse 20, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Now, you hear what? Do you understand? This is a prophet. I mean, this guy was hitting it with not only the priest of his day and religious community, he was hitting it with the culture, governmental leaders. And right now, it doesn't seem like that whoever is hitting the government leaders in every state, city, municipality, and in this nation or the nations of the world. And right now, it doesn't seem like God is allowing us to see them that well. And when we do, it's like, wow, isn't that good? This man of God, this woman of God, he's talking to the president of his country, his company, or this country. And that's not the big deal. The big deal is, what is God saying? God never is glorifying a man because of the fact that he's taking him somewhere to give an assignment and to say a word, man. The word is the most important thing, not the man who takes it. Because the man would be nothing if God didn't use him to take it, or a woman. And this guy, Jeremiah, said, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. I mean, wow, that's not just mourning there. That's grieving. And then he immediately pivots and says, yet I still dare to hope. Isn't that something? Now, it's amazing because in the midst of the crisis of our immediate past, in the last couple of years, many of us were challenged with the hope dare to hope in the midst of all the negativity that you had surrounding you, and some of it is still, the residue is still there, and it has both demonic and political flavoring to it. And you think God is not going to judge this, and he's not judging it right now? I mean, he's called God the judge of all, and that means nobody gets away with anything. I'm not talking about ultimately. We're all going to stand before, as Christians, the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not talking about everyday judgment. See, God doesn't show his hand, and that's another judgment. When one, you don't know it's God, either allowing you to continue in your nonsense, or what's going on in your family line with your children is a judgment because of aberrant behavior that is unacceptable in the economy and kingdom of God. He's slamming somebody. This is what he does. Now, at the same time, he's a God of love. But in some cases, to keep you from taking over, He loves you too much to let the devil take over. And the other thing is, God knows he's right. What do you mean? In every circumstance. That's why. I mean, he's never been wrong. That's why you and I just got to shout him down, give him praise, because we are born from a God who's always right. See? And so, Jeremiah was getting, I'll dare to hope. And then this was the key. When I remember this, now look at what he remembered. I list down a number of things, but there, in the next three verses, there are five things that are noteworthy. One, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Now you got to meditate on it. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Yeah, I'm not going to do it for you. You think about it. See, that's when hope would come to you. It's when you'll remember the natural ability of God to not only be good, but to do good. Okay? Two, his mercies never fail, never cease. Never. See, so he changed the judgment seat to a mercy seat. And so Jesus is ever living to make intercession for you. And that's why, you know, before he ever made man, he was merciful. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Three, great is his faithfulness. And God's consistent with coming through for you and me. You got to think about it. That's what I'm saying. Right? And then four, his mercies begin afresh each morning. You see this now. There you go. So think about what God this morning has allowed to happen in your life. Now, some of you, by the fact that you're on this line, it shows right there. You and I deserve all day long from our activities yesterday to die in our sleep. Why? Because of sin. You're talking about voluntary sin? It could be. But I'm also now talking about the sins of omission. I'm talking about attitudes. I'm talking about, like, This is the thought I've had with my mama, that when I think about my praise life or my prayer life or my preaching life, I would think that in that eternal world, she would be saying, come on, pray harder, preach harder, praise harder. Why? Because we're doing it as unto the Lord. Now, how could you shout God down too loud and preach too great and pray too passionate? No, you're doing it in relation to God's ability. You're made in the image of God. So we're not just doing it so that somebody can say we're awesome in any of those categories. We're doing it so that God can say we're awesome, pointing us out to the great heavenly host. So when I think about that, I know, and also secondly, I think about who God is. I can do everything better. Hey, with his help, of course. No, not just do it better because I have natural abilities. Mm-mm. When it comes to spiritual things, I don't want to be alone in doing it. I need a helper to help me. See? Because he knows exactly what I should pray. He knows exactly the thing that God wants to know that I appreciate him for. He knows exactly what things I should speak that make a difference in the heavenlies and in, you know, that tear down principalities and powers. You can pray them down. You can preach them down. I mean, listen, that's what Peter did at Pentecost. I mean, these saints were praying. I mean, let's face it. He preached down the reality of heaven that entered into the hearts of several thousand souls right there on the spot. And I've made the point, the big mouth, meaning Peter, I'll never deny you, becomes the mouthpiece. Yeah. So when he defeated fear of death, he was on the front lines. But it took the power of God for it to happen. This is true regarding all the stuff that we face. I mean, without the reality of the Holy Spirit, we'll do the same thing the world does. And it was proven. And some are still doing it. And can you imagine this? And but God is good that we are rejoicing over just starting back to church when God told us never to end church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So how? What are you telling me in the great days of God? I mean, I just, there's some stuff that was out here. There's no way I could continue to go to church. There's no way. And there's some pastors, I told you last week about that. But I mean, you could go to a number of congregations. They're not, people say they're not all bad. Well, there's some of them that's just not going to come. Because, you know, your church wasn't that awesome. And they know it now. They've been out there on the internet. So they're making the decision now. I don't want to come over there. Because I don't really like you people. I've seen, I don't like the choir. I don't like the praise. I think you're old-fashioned or I think you're too modern. I mean, I just talked to a couple of the guys with me. They were just in Richmond with, you know, like, you know, one of my sons, James Ward, was speaking over there at Virginia Union. And, I mean, I'm telling you, by all accounts, they said in Richmond, he preached up a storm. But when it was over or nearing the end, the convener of that meeting called the president of the university to just greet the people and say some things impromptu. And he really started talking about the Pentecostal move of the past and, you know, and black people engage in spiritual things. And at the end of this talk, he said, oh, yeah, you guys need to be more accommodating to our other brothers, LGBTQ, and, you know, and be more accommodating to them, let them in, you know. At the end of this talk, one of the people who told me, who was there, said he got up right while he was saying it and walked right out. He said he had something else to do, but he walked out anyway. So why? Because he wasn't going to listen to, what am I going to say? Nonsense. Because that's what it was. It was clearly nonsense. Do you know what I had Miss Ellenwood do? She has it right here. I said, let's look up in the New Testament all the times the Bible uses the term nonsense. So you look it up. In the King James, sometimes it uses other words like foolish or, you know, but it's nonsense. And so, you know, and there's a number of places in there, which I'm going to read a couple of them to you in a minute. But right now, I'm hitting it on something else that I want you to get. And, like, in some places it uses this deception. But it's all over. It's all over the Bible, that term, nonsense. And except that you and I are not called to be in it. Let me finish now. So I listed already four things that Jeremiah remembered. Number one, verse 22, the faithfulness, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. And that's amazing, too, because love overpowers what you, the punishment you deserve with the love that's given. I mean, let's face it, you can't earn it. He just gave it up. Two, his mercies never cease. Got it down. Three, verse 23, in Lamentations 3, for those of you who have just come on. Great is his faithfulness. Yep. And then four, this is the one I just looked at. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So let me just tell you, there's something that you just open your eyes that God is going to do amazing in your life this morning. That's what he said. You think he's lying? His mercies begin afresh each morning. Already something has been released to you this morning. Now, what I'm emphasizing is you got to look at it with the help of the Holy Ghost, because otherwise the circumstances and the natural things become more apparent to you than the revelation and spiritual things. Okay? So you got to get it. You got to pay attention to it. And then this is what the fifth thing is. I love this. I say to myself, look, the Lord is my inheritance. And that's something. Okay? He says, I say to myself. What do you say to yourself every moment? This is where Jeremiah turned his circumstances around. This is what he did to make hope apparent in his life. And that's really not what I'm talking about. You just you're shouting me down with the praise this morning, so I'm just kind of just unloading on you right now. Not hitting you hard, but I got to go into some stuff. It says, I say to myself, see, the Lord is my inheritance. Now that's a powerful thing. Now you thought about that. What's your inheritance? I mean, what are you going to get? But he was talking about right then. Now, look, one of the things you can give shout God down for and praise him for is simply this. He was a prophet chosen, sovereignly chosen by God. He wasn't like you and I are today. We're born of God while we still are asking God to give us his presence. God says, you still don't get it, do you? That's really true. He says, what do you mean, give you my presence? I said to you, I am, your body is my temple. So you're asking me to come around you when I've ordained that I would be in you. All I'm asking you to do is to let me in. Now, what I'm saying, beyond your rebirth, God Christ, your body being the temple of the Holy Ghost, I'm saying that you and I have to cultivate the reality of not just Christ around us, because we're more meeting conscious. Like, man, that service was really great. Oh, man, that conference was wonderful. That shouldn't be greater to you in a conference and in a church service than the reality of God inside of you. You got to cultivate that. You hear me? You got to cultivate it. And one of the ways that Jeremiah, not even having the redemption you and I have, he said, I say to myself. See that? What do you say to yourself? I mean, every day, the Lord is my inheritance. Now, if you got the... Now, he said something that you and I are the beneficiaries of. He said, the Lord is my inheritance, but he didn't know that like you and I know it. Paul said it was a mystery in Colossians 1:27. That was hidden for ages. What is it? Christ in us, the hope of glory. He said it was hidden. See? But yet, Jeremiah was saying, okay, he's trying to come in there and get up all the good stuff ordained for us. Christ is your and my inheritance. This treasure in earthen vessels, is Christ in you and me. And just like he lived in a physical body for 33 and a half years, he extended that stay to be in the earthly body until we get in this place called glory. He's going to return for a glorious church. And it won't happen by people that ignore who Christ is in them. And I'm going to tell you largely that's what I believe has happened. Secondly, I believe that even though God was looking right at Jeremiah and allowed what he said and how he felt to be canonized in a book called Lamentations. This is his lamenting. So God was looking at him while he was going through all of this. And finally, he says in verse 24, the Lord is my, I say to myself, okay, so you know, I'm just saying, take a pause, and why don't you write down what you say to yourself? Now, there's some people that have confessions that the communication of your heart might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. I mean, he's not talking about give mental assent to. It includes that. But saying, what is this? It becomes effectual when you say to yourself. Why? Because self, physical you, the natural you, isn't automatically godly. It has to be brought under. Paul says, I buffet my body, and I bring it in, I discipline my body, I bring it in alignment. You know, in one version says, I beat my body black and blue. And you got to tell your body, get in alignment. Isn't that true for sickness too? And you know, and strength and motivation and all this stuff like this. I mean, your mind, your brain is part of your body. I mean, God prefers us to be brain dead all the time. The mind of Christ is not the same thing as your brain. Okay? The mind experience of things is an emphasis of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And that's what you're saying. Your brain and every part of your body has to be brought under the spirit dimension. Otherwise, it'll go haywire. It doesn't know what to do unless you instruct it. It has any natural ability from the created order. But let's just say you weren't active in any way as far as the human construct is concerned. Then you would atrophy all over, including your brain. You never used it. The law of use, I remember Pat Robertson used to teach on that. And that's really true spiritually, too. You got to use the things that God's given you. And here again, this is Jeremiah using his mouth. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. So now I would say to you, you got to do some research again on who the Lord is in your life. Because to the degree that you let him be who he is, he's not a counterfeit. Your life is amazing whether you say it or not. Your life is powerful whether you acknowledge it or not. I'm just saying you activate these things by doing what Jeremiah said. I say, you know, to myself, you are mightily used of God. You carry the life of God in you. You have a heart for spiritual realities. See, you're being protected by the angelic host, and your archangel is amazing. He's doing a great job. I'm just saying, he gives his angels charge over you. I just jumped out there for a minute with you. I mean, this is the spirit world. Do you understand? You'll still live out of your you'll live on the basis of your humanity if you don't declare your deity. You hear me? In other words, the things that seem foolishness to man is amazing to God. And the things that seem wisdom to man is nonsense to God. That's one of those passages there in First Corinthians I had down here. I got it right here. Can you believe this, people? I actually have a computer out. Where is the philosopher of this age? God has turned the wisdom of the world into nonsense, hasn't he? Where's the wise man? Where's the expert? That's what it is. What it says right here in 1 Corinthians 1:20. There you go. In 21, 1 Corinthians 21, says its wisdom did not know God. See, God was pleased to save those who believe through the nonsense of our preaching. For since in the wisdom of God, the world by its own wisdom did. Okay, continue to read. I got a partial verse here. Ask Miss Daisy for the whole verse here. Now, but that's okay. I got something here. I'm giving it to you. So, look, go back to Lamentations 3 and look what it says again. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Now, I would be greedy if I was you. I mean, let me tell you something. Do you hear me laughing? Look, I was just saying this to one person the other day. I said, this hotel here, they haven't given me any service since I've been here. This is, I think it's maybe the fourth day or so. And, you know, and they say, COVID, stop it. I was in another hotel by the Hilton Group. And this was like Homewood Suites thing. I don't even know if I ever stayed in Homewood Suites. Right across the street from Homewood Suites, which it looks like Shirley Terry, soldiers got for me a place to stay at Park Soleil, it's called, over in Orlando for like 24 days, right across the street from the Hollywood Suites. Now, the last time I was there, they were only giving service twice a week. This Hollywood Suite said, we give service every day. And if you don't want service, let us know. I'm over here right now in this, what's this place called? It's the Residence Inn Like I said, I've been here 4 days, and they haven't given me service 1 day. So I mentioned it downstairs. They said, well, we still, you know, got a COVID protocol. Shut up. And I told them straight up, you've been beaten by the Hilton. See? You're making money. In other words, you're charging the same prices but giving less service. Your margins are higher. But they're not higher from you having integrity. They're higher because you're using a disease to make more money. That's what you got. And that's what it's clear. And this, even the result is doing the same thing. See? And those secular people having concerts, I mean, I don't even know. Like I mentioned last week, I glimpsed at the Grammys. I don't even know if those people have masks on. But dude, you got all this stuff. You got basketball games now. You got, you know, all the stuff that's going on. Baseball, James ain't winning nothing, hardly. I mean, there's some people still, like, whatever. But now the thing's been reduced down to the common cold. If you look at what they're saying scientifically about it, it's always going to be here because they don't have a cure for it. And the vaccine hasn't been. So it's going to be here. So now what they're saying is, you got to treat it like a common cold. You may have had it about 4 or 5 times. Don't even realize that your sore throat, the cough you had, the sneeze you got, and all this now. You don't think it's COVID now. You saw it as a common cold. Probably is, but it's in that category. Take off the mask. It doesn't do nothing. It doesn't do anything. Your antibodies are better. That's okay. Leave the mask on if you're still afraid to die. That's okay. That's what it is. Just what it is. And I don't know how you're going to answer that, though, before the Lord. I really didn't want to go into this. What are you going to say to God about the fear you're carrying now and the self-protection you're doing? It's self-protection. You don't believe that God is protecting and keeping you. So I know a lot of people that die. Well, do you think you're going to die? That's why you're wearing it. You think you're going to die. You mean your assignment is like God's finished with you? Do you think he can let you die other ways than that? 1,000 ways you can die, but you got 1,000 praises that you can say. That's what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about that nonsense anymore. So you got 1,000 things to praise God for. Listen, if you pay attention, if the news media that's told you about all this other stuff for the last 2 or 3 years, if they're giving you reasons to praise God for those 2 or 3 years, the whole world would be in just amazing revival right now. It's just as you listen to nonsense too long, and if you listen to nonsense, you take it in, and guess what you become? Nonsense. And some of the ways that people are acting, how afraid they are, it's just nonsense. It's just, it doesn't make sense. And like, they go against science, like those the different types of masks, the design of masks, the cloth, like, come on, man, things don't work. They tell you it's a molecule. And one person said to me, well, you got to do something. No, it doesn't. Doesn't do nothing. But there you go. You'd rather not believe me. That's okay. I still love you. Look what it says here. Okay? Verse 24, Lamentations 3. I say to myself, see, you won't let me get off of that. I got to go. Look, the Lord is my inheritance. Now, I said to you, you have to study. If the Lord himself is your inheritance, all you got to do, how much of the Lord is your inheritance? However much he releases, take all that the Holy Ghost reveals, but God didn't become less of himself when he came inside of you. You didn't get like 1/1,000th part of Jesus when he came in. You got all of them. That's the nature of the eternal. The person of Christ in his fullness is inside of you. Matter of fact, Paul even talks about, be not drunk with wine where there is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you say to yourself, I am filled with the Holy Ghost? What does that mean? See, that means the third person of the Godhead, Jesus, in spirit, is leading you. Yeah. You are full of the Holy Ghost, and unlimited potential is about to operate so that people are going to think the Lord has just come down in physical form on the earth again by being in your company. And that's something great to say about you to yourself. It's true, I just said it. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness can never extinguish it. Now, that's the Lord in you. See? So it says, the Lord is my inheritance. So I just read to you five verses of John 1, and that's what he is in you. It has to be cultivated. It's a point I'm making. Therefore, he says, I will have hope. And so that's the fifth point that he makes. But it doesn't end there. So, again, I just list five. But it continues on. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who depend upon him. See that? That's six. To those who search for him. That's seven. See? So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. That's eight. See? And it's good for people to submit. Look, at an early age, to the yoke of his discipline. That's nine. Let them sit alone in silence beneath the Lord's command. That's ten. Okay, that's enough. Can you see this? This is what this guy said. I will dare to hope in verse 21 when I remember this. So you didn't read the subsequent verses. So what did you remember, Jeremiah? I just read it. And it's there. It's there permanently for you. See? Man, this is some great stuff right here. It is. I'm just saying. And I just said a lot right there. Now, I'm going to, in the future, talk to you about, you know, the things that God in Christ has said to disciples now. And I'm going to start talking more to disciples in the future, which you are. I would put you in the category, except, you know, some of you are submitted to, you know, to different measures. And, but I just want to just emphasize something I've said to you before about the, Jesus calling his disciples at different times just to be with him, and he talked to them, you know, as disciples. See, it's all over the Bible. And I'm going to turn that into some kind of workbook, because there's too many amazing things that are there, you know, for me not to do that. I would say to you, even if you read the red, you have to go in there and point out where Jesus called just his disciples to him and what he said to them. Okay? And when you do that, and if you believe you're a disciple, then you'll know what in principle should I know that I'm not operating in now. And what is expected of me as a disciple, as opposed to just being a part of the mass of believers? Because, let me just say, God said, I've said in the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, to perfect the saints. So in other words, what he would tell those fivefold ministries and what they would understand has to be what they tell the masses of Christians, though. Remember that? Ephesians 4:11. So in other words, what leaders know is different from what the masses know. So a case in point I can make with you, the Great Commission mandate was given to the 12, right? Going to all the world and preach the gospel. We say, even though we sister, mother, Elder Josie talks about the witness that she has to other believers, God, yeah, but she's now an elder, but she was doing that before she became one. The point is, though, that word is clearly not being done by most believers. Going to all the world and make disciples of nations. So if I talk to you about how you transform a nation, probably the great masses of you are not going to do that, because you're not assigned to it. That is kind of stuff that's like good to hear, but it's clearly stuff you're not going to do. Why? Because of the cost involved with it. and the potential for a lot of things to happen that could be extremely negative if you're not built up enough to handle the repercussions of that, both spiritually with the devil, darkness, evil, and also naturally what you got to do in terms of what you got to give up, leaving your family. Just think about it. They couldn't have obeyed what Jesus said to do, the disciples, unless they left their family, friends, hometown, all of that. So he talked to disciples, and then he talked to the three different, okay, Peter, James, and John. Then he talked to Peter just by himself. And then of the apostles, he also talked to John on the Isle of Patmos. Now, the rest of them, the other apostles, all got died martyrs. They got killed. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not begging God that I would die a martyr, but, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here in the future. I'm not trying to show off and go out here and get killed, because I know if you do certain things, they will kill you. See? I mean, but now both God and people like bravery, because that's one of the things that the Lord says you'll go to the lake for, and that is the fearful. And I remember Ed Cole, but it's correct, interpreted that passage in Revelations 21 as the cowardly, the fearful, the cowardly. And there are some legislators that have gone over there. One of them, I know, it was former mayor of Dayton, Ohio, Mike Turner, to see actually what's going on over in Europe with Ukraine, et cetera. And a number of other congressmen, legislators, they know their constituency loved bravery, but so do you. But you're the brave people that's called to stand up against evil, both first in the spirit world, because that's where evil begins, in the invisible realm. And you and I would say, have to cultivate a better actualization of the spirit world. It's God can supersede you and get on it. But let me just go here. So the other person, the one that I was just mentioning, John the Revelation, God also spoke to him separately. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, you say, when is all this stuff going to happen? What, you know, that's in there. Why don't, who is this and that? Magog, and all this. And there have been interpretations of a lot of that stuff like that. What's there? Well, here's the point. The reason that most of Christianity still does not know what that means is by the definition of the term of what the book is called, Revelation. You see that? So in other words, if you don't have revelation from God, you don't understand most of what's in that book. But it was God's privilege to give us the kingdom. In other words, at your present level, it's not intelligence. I mean, look, there are a lot of theologians who, by definition, by terminology, on the basis of hermeneutics, have tried to explain revelation, but there's minimal amount of Christians that is preaching out of that book, or even believe they are qualified to know about eschatology, which that book emphasizes. It's really, that's just a term, end time, where it means end times. No. You and I are not only called to know about the end times, we're called to know about all times. You hear me? In other words, you know, you don't get exact dates from God, but to understand how God functions and what's going on in certain circumstances, that no matter how much research you do, you're not going to get it. God has to unveil it to you. That's revelation. But really, it's all of Christianity, your and my life. It's what he reveals to you that you'll die for that makes the difference in your living. Come on, people. I'm unloading right now. I'm not screaming at you, though. What makes the difference in your life right now is what you'll die for. And that's why you're living, is that there's still a level of devotion in your heart that says, I'm still ready for my next assignment. God, I'm sorry about the last assignment. So let me just say a prayer for you now. And let's get used, okay? Where sin does abound, look at this. Grace does much more abound. You've heard me quote this before. Where sin is in abundance, grace is in superabundance. And then some more on top of that. That's what's available for you, my Father. I thank you for all the soldiers listening to me now. We don't want to fail you. Look, God, these same people in the world that's looking at us, they got to face you the same as we do. So we're not trying to please men. We're not even trying to please ourselves. We live to please you. I'm asking for the attestation of the power and reality of the world to come. To not only now be a present reality, what you said, you are very present help in time of need, but that that dimension of their birthright would begin to dominate over their lives and thought, words, and deeds. That they would now come up here in the spirit as you said it to John. Thank you, Lord. That no matter where we are located in our closeness to you, each one of us could be closer. I admit that for myself as I'm giving this message. I admit, Lord, I could be closer to you. I admit also that my wife is seeing things about me right now that she thought I was way more dedicated. And that embarrasses me. So, Lord, help me with a new dedication. No, not that she can see I wasn't perfect, but she also can see I can be perfected. And I'm asking for that, Lord. But I'm asking it because of what you see, not what she sees. Because of what you ordained to happen in my life, what I can achieve, and each people, person on this line can manifest in this life of the goodness of God in the land of the living. Break every work of the devil against them. May the Lord arise and shine. May the sickness in their bodies be defeated. May the emotional upheaval that would lie to them day after day, that says God isn't a very present help in time of need, may those thoughts be gone. May every ruling spirit be brought low and brought under the authority of the mighty power of God right now at work in their lives. May relationships be healed. May promotions be realized. May resources come to them now. May they be champions of things yet unseen and undone. Extend lifespans now, Father, for the sake of one, transformation, and two, destination. May they fulfill all your will, just exactly like David did. And may they be transformed into all of your image. To God be the glory. I speak your blessings as I've just done over each person, no matter whether it's female, as the men are often quiet on the line. I know you'll get something out of them, Lord. And even the thinking that they just have to be still. Bless them in their stillness and use them to speak up for you where you sent them and where they are. To God be the glory. Thank you for hearing my cry. You've done it today. May Jesus be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. There we go.
And Bishop, good. Excellent. Excellent. I love Lamentations 3. And I like the statement that you made, we will live out of our humanity if we don't declare our deity. That's good stuff.
Thank you, Bishop.
I got that one. I got that one. But I love Lamentations 3. All right. Food for some thought. Amen. That's good stuff.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Since you wouldn't let me relax today, and like, who's to say I'm not finishing up my morning like Jeremiah? You know, talking, waking people up all in the morning, things. Okay. I get no slack. People, I want to let you know, this is a daughter that don't get me. Like, no check. She gave me 2 weeks. Even in the Bible, they give you like a month, but the Lord gave them at least 30 days to mourn. She gave me 2 weeks. And now,
that was
the third week. You understand? That's all right. Over the house. I was over the house people last night, even till late last night. You see, I was right over there. So they want it. I'm right over there. Hey, and so God is great. I had a great time with him, though. I've been with Bishop Hunt, and I talked to him about some great things we can do to glorify God. And then I said, do you have any playoff tickets to the basketball games coming up? Oh, yeah, come on, man. Let's do some stuff. Okay, well, that's some of my levity going on right there. But I do think that it would be a great thing. So if any of you have any insight on to how we can get into this, let's see, we're in Atlanta. You're in the playoffs. I want to go to a couple of those games. So there you go.
That's right, Bishop. We're going to believe God. You get some tickets into those games.
Well, come on.
That's right. Look, all this stuff on the earth is for our enjoyment.
That's right. You think only demonic people are supposed to look at the basketball? No. We can get in. Those people need to be witnessed to anyway. I'm probably going to be screaming in there, though. Probably wouldn't be screaming like I'm screaming at you. It will be.
Right. You'd be screaming. Amen. Well, all right, Kingmakers. You have your assignment, tickets for Bishop to the basketball game. But in the middle of that, read Lamentations 3 again. It's a great chapter. I love it. Well, we love you guys, and we will see you on next week. God bless. Have an awesome week.
Right.
We love
Bye-bye.
You.